Right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and welcome. Welcome. Today we speak about partnering with your spiritual team. Now, most people refer to the members of your spiritual team, those unseen friends who work with you, as guides. And so we're not so sure that guides is the best term, but that's the most popular one that people use and what they think of most of the time. So we may be referring to them as guides, helpers, assistants, your spiritual team, team members, unseen friends, and so on. So you've got so many beings, who love you. They love you. They want to be with you. They want to help you become more conscious. Because you see, at this time on the planet, moving into the new world, the level of consciousness expansion on the part of individuals as well as a part of the world is awesome. It is a huge evolutionary step. Some people say it's an ascension. That works. Others say we're moving into 5D or 7D, and that works too. That's what's happening. We're moving to another consciousness level, another dimensional capacity level. And of course, in order to really truly grow to that level and be able to function on that level, a level in 5D, you don't have the same amount of limitations, pain and suffering and so on as you do in day-to-day 3D. In order to get there consciously, you must then be able to work consciously, expand consciously, be conscious of what you're doing, be conscious of what you're thinking, be conscious of what you're feeling, and most importantly, and be conscious of your connections on the other side. The other side being 5D. All your guides, your helpers, your unseen friends, all are working with you from 5D and beyond. But 5D is the connection to you because, you see, when you're in 3D, you're limited by time and space. Now, the consciousness you want to have, the consciousness you want to live in and moment by moment, day by day, is a consciousness that is unlimited by time and space. And your natural true self does not have this limitation. You chose to come into physical manifestation. You chose to take on a body and do some important work. And you thought it was going to be fun, and you thought it was going to be intriguing, and it is. It's rather intriguing. There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of things to explore, and so on. And you are part of a wave of souls who are incarnating at this time on the planet with the intention of not only yourself being able to move into thinking and feeling and being beyond the limitations of time and space, but to help bring the whole world along with you. And you do that by working with your own consciousness, and in this case, being helped by and assisted by and connected to your guides, your team members. And they're here not because they have been ordered to, nor are you. You chose to be here. You have a spiritual family on the other side that is absolutely excited about you because this time on the planet is so exciting. It's a pivotal, pivotal time, and you're part of the wave of the healing that is happening. So your job is to get to 5D. Your job is to be able to work and the fifth dimension and beyond. And your guides are here for you to help, specifically to help you do that. They walk with you every day of your life. They are here with you all the time. And every one of you has at least 30, 40 or more friends, guides, light beings who are with you or thinking of you or loving you or just hanging out with you. Now, if you were aware of them, you would have seen them all your whole life. You would already have seen how they're totally integrated into your day-to-day life. But because you're raised in a culture of separation, a culture of isolation, where everything has to be deconstructed, put in boxes, you have been taught and trained not to be working with your team. And so that's quite a tragedy in a sense, but look at it this way. You are now ready to go. You are now ready to make the leap with them. You are now ready to be and stay connected to them so that they can help you every step of the way to get to that new level of consciousness in which you will actually be done with the whole cycle of reincarnation, of birth and death. You'll be really done, complete, kaput. It's over. You're going to be able to step into consciousness so much so and ascend so much so consciously that you can make the choice whether you want to come back or not. You will be in choice. You'll be able to make the choice. So your team is going to help you in both of your missions. Now, we've talked about missions before. First of all, you have your personal mission, who is discovering who you are, understanding that you are a divine being, becoming more identified with your divine nature rather than identified with the lesser or lower nature. And that process takes place day in and day out. Your guides are with you all the time on that. And then there is the global mission in which you give of yourself, of the templates that you've changed, of the new world self that you've become, creating a morphogenic field for other people, for others to be able to, follow or to grasp or to connect to when they are going into the collective unconscious mind. You're making changes in the unconscious mind, not just subconscious, not just changing the patterns. Yes, that's part of your personal mission, but your global mission is that ultimately this changes big patterns of humanity. So, and yes, you are doing it. It's not something for you to crow about. It's not something to feel burdened by as some kind of mission put upon you. No, this is something you chose and you're totally, on the soul level, excited about it. So let's get to looking at what you want to do with your guides, who they are, what they're up to, how to work with them, and how to connect with them. You see, your guides and your team members can come to you in any form. They can come to you as in trees and rocks. They can come to you as people. They can even show up in your life as people to give you a message, and then they just kind of disappear out of your life. Sometimes some of the people that you've known for a very brief time or had a very exquisite meeting with were actually physical manifestations of one of your team members who give you a heads up, all right? So there's a lot of magic involved in this too, a lot of miraculous stuff. Now, the channel met a skull consciousness, It was a very, very powerful skull a teacher of healing had he had a kind of a church, alternative church, and he had this skull. And she took the healing class with him, and she picked up the skull and said, he said, you know, this skull has memories of all of all civilization and what has been and what is and all that. This skull has connections down through time, space, and everything. So she said, okay. She takes the skull. She puts the skull, the third eye of the skull area to her third eye, and the skull takes her on a trip to where she sees the origin of creation. She sees the creation of the whole material plane and the installation of the ecosystem and all the people and everything. And it was like, you know, it just all flowed in this incredible, incredible flow. And she was just there going, wow, wow, wow. So some of your friends can be crystals. They can be crystal skulls who have tremendous information to impart to you. Or they can be crystal friends who have and hold certain resonances, certain energies that you can work with. So we're not going to get into working with crystals, but we just want to say that they are also part of your team. And you may find yourself attracted to certain crystals or certain rocks. You can even find yourself attracted to certain trees that seem to speak to you. Most of your guides will show to you in meditation in human form. And this is where most people are comfortable with thinking about the guides and the team and so on. Now, and there is also, you know, you're on your path. You have intentions. You want to manifest stuff. You want to improve your life. And your guides want to help you do that. All right? So they're here for you. They don't have time and space. They're beyond time and space, so they don't get tired. They also don't have to sleep. They also don't have to go on vacations. They don't have to escape their duties. They don't have that. They can be everywhere at once. It's what's called being non-local. And so they don't tire working with you. Don't ever feel you're overloading them with your burdens or your issues or whatever, all right? So because they're always ready to be with you. Now, some of your team are with you from birth to death. They are with you your whole lifespan. They're like a guardian. There are certain soul forces that are with you all the time. And they look out after you. You have counselors. These are two of generally ancestors who are with you and working with you all through your whole life. And then you have several phases, like you through childhood, you'll have certain, there'll be certain guides who will come and help you through your childhood. There'll be some that'll come through adolescence or young adulthood, and others that will come when you embark upon a particular career or project that are specific for that career or project. There'll be guides who will be with you in certain phases of your life. For example, let's say you decide to get married and have a family, and so there's that phase. There will be guides that will come in specifically for that, and others will leave when their phase is over. But there are some that are with you all the time. As far as the guides are concerned, there are also guides that are aspects of you, greater parts of you, like your higher self. Our higher self, or oversoul, as some people call it, is beyond all your lifetimes. And as such, it's always available for you to work with. Now, that's your higher self. You're a kind of an embodiment or personification of your soul is also available for you. And your soul is the part beyond your higher self, the part that connects with God, Goddess, all that is directly. And so your soul holds a tremendous amount of love as well as your higher self. You also have your spirit. And some people confuse spirit and soul and think of them as the same thing. But your spirit is more of the activator, the spark of action. It's more like the masculine as opposed to the soul, which seems to be more feminine in its sense, as in its essence. And the spirit is, you know, when you're really excited about something and you got all this energy and you're really motivated and you're gung-ho, you're really spirited, right? So, and you're like, you know, they talk about, you know, horses before the race. They're all like prancing and dancing. They're spirited, raring to go. Your spirit has that kind of energy that gets you going. And you want to be able to connect with your spirit as well. There are also shamanic guides that are with you. And they can show up as animals. They can show up as plant teachers. They can show up in many forms of nature, right? They could show up as a mountain can be your one of your guides, and it depends, of course, on your where you have lived. Sometimes you live somewhere and you find yourself really gravitating to the landscape that's there, and feeling very connected to it. Well, that can also function to a certain extent as one of your guides. Okay, so as you can see that there's many different types of guides, but now they have many different kinds of functions. One of the functions, say a mountain's function, may be to ground you, to keep you connected to your roots, to your traditions, to your when we talk about traditions, we're not talking about just superficial cultural traditions. We're talking about deep spiritual traditions, your spiritual path traditions from the past. Many of you have had Native American lifetimes or lifetimes in which you did do shamanic work or work with nature spirits. And so this is a part of a spiritual tradition for you, even though you've lived in the city all your life, you see. So nature can hold that sense of grounding and connecting into your depth of richness, of belonging, and so on. So one of the things that guides can do is, of course, give you this love, give you this grounding, give you this sense of belonging, right? So if you are feeling what so many are feeling, the sense of isolation and separation, in fact, the trauma of separation, the illusion of separation that happened when you left the divine in order to descend into physical form, into this small piece of consciousness that is your physical, that is capable of functioning in a physical body, there was a sense of great loss. And that separation, very, very painful. So your guides are very capable of very, very capable of giving you a tremendous support of love and nurturing and belonging so that this sense of separation is assuaged, so you don't feel so alone. You can connect with them and they can become your family. They can become your community. If you don't have a human one, the guides will do it. They will hold you in their arms. They will hold you in their presence. And you will feel directly connected to your community, your spiritual community, through them. All right? There's also, they do have an ability to protect you. And they protect you from all sorts of things, like when the channel is gets in her car and goes someplace, gets on the freeway, travel through major traffic, and so on. She can often ask the guides to protect her so that she doesn't have an accident or something like that. And she can feel it as like a bubble of light surrounding her car. And so you may want to call upon some of your guides who can work with your mundane life. Not all of them do, but they will work with your mundane life for protection in your daily life. They'll also, if you ask them, they will protect your valuables. They will protect your house. They'll protect your, you know, your possessions and belongings and so on. They'll protect you from injury, from accidents and so on. But you have to intend. You have to request. You have to ask. And we'll get to that later, how you do that. But protection is a really good one. One of the good things that, too, is that when you're working with them, they can protect you even from negative people. For example, you know, there's a guy who goes absolutely berserk and he gets out his gun and starts shooting. Well, your guides are going to make sure that vibrationally you're not there. You're not in the line of fire. They're going to make sure you're somewhere else. Now you may say, well, most people are somewhere else. That's true. But there are some people who are there who are going to get killed, right? So they do make sure that whatever issue, whatever death threat there is or whatever there is that could harm you, could really set you back, could shorten your spiritual journey. They're going to protect you on that. That's just part of it. But you have to ask, all right? And what's very important is that because this is a path of consciousness, you do need to be conscious of your requests to them. They're not going to be able to do anything to you or for you or anything in your life helping you out if you don't ask, if you don't engage with them. They're there. You're the project team leader, okay? They're like a team working on a project, and you're the leader, and unless you direct them, they're going to sit around and wait for your direction. So, and they grow out of working with you, so they want you to ask them, okay? Because they become more, you see. Now, they also are able to line up magic for you. They can lie if you intend. They'll find connections. They will line up synchronicities and so on, so that you get what it is that you're asking for. For example, the channel was realizing she was always having this intense feeling that there was a compression in her head, and it was so uncomfortable, and she realized that she needed to be able to expand her skull from the inside out, and that this could alleviate this kind of incredible pressure and intensity in the middle of her head. And so she basically started asking her guides and saying, could you please, direct me to somebody who can do cranial work and really open up the head, because all the cranial work she'd had so far were people pressing on the skull, which didn't seem to be that very helpful. And so within a few weeks, or even perhaps it was even days, we don't know now, but she asked a few times and so on. And one time she asked, and in the mail came a newsletter. And in this newsletter, it was sharing this whole cranial therapy in which it is endocranial, means the therapy goes inside and pumps out the skull. Whoa, that was just what she asked for. And so she was able to contact the doctor who did these. And she was living in Florida at the time, and he was in Washington State. And he said, okay, if you line up 8 people to get treatment from me, then I'll fly down to Florida. She says, you got it. She lined up 12 people, and he came down, and he worked on her and all the others, and this was exactly what she needed. Her skull opened up. It was like she could think and breathe, and her brain could get oxygen again. This was a request she had made. Now, she has found that she can ask for a therapy and to address a physical issue or for information on a particular thing, and she can put it out there to the guides, and one way or another, it comes through. So they can help you find things that you need or find the resources that you need. Okay, so that can be very, very helpful so that you can really, put together the pieces that you want for your path, for your personal mission, for your development. It helps your spiritual growth. It helps your expansion, right? So now there's some of the guides are very helpful for daily mundane things. Like we were talking about, you know, protection of the car and that kind of thing. There's a couple of guides that everyone has from the birth to death that are called counselors. They're often ancestors, or they're somehow kind of connected to the higher self of certain key people in your life or whatever it is. But they'll do things as mundane for you as finding a good parking place or getting you into a crowded theater or finding you a good seat at the seminar. Just those kinds of things. You don't want to bother your higher self about that, in a sense, because your higher self wants to work with your higher spiritual expansion. So, you know, guides can be very specific for certain things. So you ask your counselors for that. They can clear out traffic on the road. You know, if it's like you're sitting there, okay. And so you can ask for the traffic to flow and so on. Sometimes it's been so magical that that you can find yourself being able to go at really much closer to normal speeds on a very, very crowded highway, and that the lanes just open up for you. They can do that too. So, but you have to know who to ask and that kind of thing. Now, when you have a career, there some guides may come in and work specifically for you on that career. For example, if you're an investor and you want to invest in the stock market, it's good to have a guide who was themselves, you know, a stock market analyst or whatever, and someone who has actually been in physical life and so on, who's passed on, be very happy to come and help and give you advice. So that can work out very nicely too. And also, if you're doing something that's creative and imaginative and you want some kind of greater inspiration or creative force to work with, your guides can also help you there. We've known quite a few people who they sit down to write a book and they have these things in mind, and they sit down, they talk to the guides, and the guides say, okay, well, let's go there and let's start here. And they say, okay, and how about this? And the guides will kind of talk with them and discuss with them. And then they'll sit down and write, and it'll be like channeling writing. It's like automatic writing. They just like the can really just send it right through, just pour it right through. So that can be really very effective as well. So it's they also can give you feedback and messages. They'll give you feedback to things that you're doing. They will give you a certain energy of caution. And this is not necessarily just your monkey mind, just your analytical mind making stuff up. Sometimes they will basically say, caution. If you meet someone who's really not good for you, very often you can feel something's off. There's just something not right with this person. And some of that can be, from your guides, a little bit of a message for you about that. Okay, so you want to feel that. Now, one of the ways to get in connection with vetting, you know, circumstances, people, opportunities, and things like that is to you can get in touch with that type of intuitional sense that comes through the voice of your soul. Now, the voice of your soul is very, very quiet, very small. It's a still, small voice. And most people just kind of ignore it because it's so, so small, so light, so quiet. But sometimes it's the most important voice you have in your mind, okay? And you can contact that, in a sense, by just feeling, you know, when you get that gut-level knowing where you just know it down deep in your gut, that is a connection to some of your soul energy. That is part of your divine connection, right? So you want to amplify that by working with soul. And we'll get to a little bit of that in just a bit. Okay, so, and they can give you messages. They can give you whispers, messages. And they can show you messages by giving you synchronicities. The channel and Daniel have this whole thing where something odd shows up on the TV or whatever, and it's like, oh my, I hadn't thought about that in 40 years. And then a few hours later, there's that word or term or idea again from some other source. And they call that, oh, that's an interesting coincidence. So we call that a twofer. And one of the things that the channel has discovered in her life is that if she gets like two or three of these synchronicities, then she knows she needs to pay attention. Like she was reading in a book in a magazine about the senolytic compounds. Okay, you may not have a clue what that is, or it may not matter to you. But it was a biochemical compound that helps clear out senescent or aging cells and helps rejuvenate a person. And so she felt something about that, felt a connection, like you need to know about this. So she takes out the page of the ad and she puts it on her desk. And then somebody else mentions she's going through her email, and she gets another one that talks about clearing out senescent cells and anti-aging. Oh, okay, how interesting. That's another reference to this. So, and then day before yesterday or so, we talked with a dear one, and the dear one says, how do I clear out these dead cells? How do I get rid of this debris? And voila, there it was. And so obviously it was meant to give that information. So that's the way the magic works with little messages for an example. Now, you may have it in other ways, but this is very common. You get messages that way. And you learn stuff. And one of the ways also that the guides can work with you is that they can help you. For example, if you go to a practitioner who does muscle testing, or you learn how to muscle test yourself, or you learn how to work with a pendulum, or you learn how to do a tarot spread or astrology or whatever with the intention of getting some kind of information or answers or whatever, the guides are very happy to work with you in that. And they'll increase your intuition. They'll give you gestalts of answers and ideas so that you will know, you know, this is what you need to do, or this is the way you need to go about it, or whatever. And or they'll at least say, yes, this is a path to pursue, or there's this, but there's a, yes, this is good, but you first need to deal with this. You know, so they give you that kind of feedback, and through whatever channel that you use to open up and receive guidance. So they're right there for you. And anytime you're doing muscle testing and so on, they can help you not getting engaged with your ego. Because if you get involved with your negative ego when you're trying to muscle test something, you never get any right information. So they will help kind of put you into that more humble, more open, more receiving space. And you can ask them for that as well. And one of the biggest things that the guides do for you, and this is with your higher self, your soul, your spirit, and all of that, is that there are times in your life where you make choices that are not good, that don't seem to be good for the, that lead you astray, so to speak, that are not in the direction of what you came to do, or the mission, your mission. And it's just, if you go off track, out of away from your path and so on. Now, sometimes it's about marrying the quote-unquote wrong person, Not that there is anything wrong with any action or anything that you do, but some of the things that you do can take you further away from yourself. It can take you further from your consciousness, further from your path. And while these deviations are okay, you will learn plenty while you do that. Sometimes, though, it could throw your whole life path askew. And so during those times, the guides in your team will, especially your higher self, will gently kind of do some little corrections and so on, so that ultimately you can get the learning that you need to get and you can get back on your track. So a lot of times you could have, when you're young, sometimes you can really do something stupid. You can do stupid stuff. You can go and take really crazy risks, and they have to rush in and protect you because they want you to live long enough to do what you came here to do, right? So they are watching after you in that regard. It helps when you talk to them. It helps when you acknowledge that you're doing something absolutely irresponsible and crazy and reckless. But they will very often adjust this and adjust that and adjust this, and you'll end up moving to and living to a place where you will meet this person who will send you to that place, and then you'll meet that, and bang, you're back on your track. So they have a way of lining stuff up for you. That doesn't mean that you're free to go and do crazy stuff now. No, you're getting more conscious and more aware of yourself. So really, honor yourself and stay on track as much as you can, So that's just the way you need to do it, so that you can keep moving forward in consciousness, moving upward in expansion in consciousness. Now, there are certain things that your guides will not do for you. They don't do. And if you get these messages, if you get messages of certain type from your guides, this is a red flag. It says, no, you're not listening to your guides. You're listening to your negative ego. Okay? If you think that you must do this because it's fate, and it's like your guides say, this is your fate, this is what you must do, this is your destiny, you must do this particular thing. That's not your guides. That's your negative ego. And if they say somehow, you're going to save the planet, you're going to be this great person that's going to pull all the nations together and so on and so on. This is Aquarian age. It's not a singular hero type pattern anymore. So that's definitely going to be from your negative ego. Another thing that they can say is that, you're destined to win the lottery and we're going to give you the numbers for the lottery. No, they don't do that either. Why? Because winning the lottery doesn't expand your consciousness. Winning the lottery can keep your bad habits going. It can keep your same old negative thinking going. And it's borne out by so many people who win the lottery who in about a couple of years, they've now spent all their money and gotten into arguments with who knows how many people, and their family is all upset, and they've lost their friends, and they're back down to where they were, and now their life sucks. And it's like, gee, all that money just messed everything up. And that was because they didn't have the consciousness installed enough to be able to handle something like that. So winning the lottery is like a fantasy, and it's a two-dimensional fantasy, and they don't tend to see that as expanding your consciousness that well. So they're probably not going to do that. Also, they're not going to interfere with somebody else's lives on your behalf. They're not going to punish anybody else. They're not going to make somebody else love you. They're not going to do love potions for you. They're not going to do that stuff. That is not their mission. That's not their purpose. Okay, now, you can engage some demons to do crap for you, but some of these demons, they don't have responsibility. They don't, they're not necessarily loving. You get into a lot of deep trouble if you start to deal with astral entities and negative forces. So we would recommend that you stay out of that. But if the guides start to talk like that, no, this is not the guides. Okay, they're not going to nix all spiritual paths. They're not going to put you against other people. They're not going to spew hate speech. They're not going to support your negative ego. They're not going to destroy you. They're not going to create drama in your life. Anywhere that you feel that there's all sorts of great drama going on, that's not from your guides. That's from your negative ego. And so you need to really work with your negative ego. And you need to recognize that your guides are never going to support your negative habits, your bad habits. They're not going to support your unconsciousness in any way. All right. So anything that supports you being lazy, consciousness-wise, you being able to sit back and manipulate or dominate or control, that's not from your guides. They are not into controlling, dominating, nor are they wanting you to control and dominate. Even though you're head of the team, you're not going to control and dominate. They're not your servants. They're all working with you as equals. All right? So there are several ways to connect with them. As we mentioned before, you can connect with them with a pendulum or muscle testing and so on. They very often will agree to, if you can stay out of ego, that they will be able to give you some really good, accurate information. If you have too much charge about something, if it's like, oh my gosh, do I have cancer? Well, and they're like, ah, your guides will not answer that one because your ego's in the way. So it's got to be something that you can handle, something that's okay for you. So start with, if you want to get connection for that and use a pendulum or muscle test yourself or whatever you want to do, start with something small that is of no significance, and then you'll get how the energy works. And then you can ask for larger and larger things. There's also, like we were talking about, getting kind of a soul voice connection. And one of the techniques that we suggest is that you can put your hand over your belly, over your solar plexus chakra, which is right above your navel. And you just put your hand there and you just feel and you ask questions in your mind to your guides. And if it's a distinct no, you will feel a tension there. It will not feel good. If it's a distinct yes, it'll feel warm and flowy. If it's like, yes, but there's some conditions, you won't get any response perhaps at all. If it's no, not really, but in certain cases it could be, you won't get any response at all. So that would indicate that you would need to develop your intuition if you wanted to get the message this way. But that's a very powerful way to do it. We have taught people on other occasions how to get in touch with soul, and it's a very quiet, deep, beautiful process. That can also keep you feeling connected. Now, most often people connect with guides through visualizations and meditations. And if you're a visual type, you can visualize your guides. You can see see them in human form, or you can see them in their animal form. Even if you have a crystal guide that you work with, you can see a form that may come with that that may look like an elemental or something. And there are also other races of beings from other planets and even here on Earth and so on who could work with you. And so if you're a visual person, you can, there's certain steps you can take to get into the frequency and into the resonance where you can tap into the frequencies of connection with these guides. Now, we don't have the time to go into all of that. That would be quite a long seminar to go into all the different ways of connecting with guides. But the most popular one, the easiest one to do, is through a meditative visualization, and which is what we're going to be doing with you in just a little while. And just as a explanation about that is that a part of doing that is going to be where you're going to visualize a guide. You're going to call in a guide. You're going to open to receive, and you're going to call the guide in. And that guide is going to show up in human form. You're going to call in one that will show up in human form for you. Now, don't be too worried whether you're getting this right or not, okay? Because the guide will show up in some form that you can kind of grok or imagine, because you've got to use your imagination here. Now, you may think, well, if I'm just making it up, it's not real. But we want to point out to you that when you make stuff up, you're using your imagination, and your imagination is connecting you with 5D, with the fifth dimension. That's the way you get to the fifth dimension, is through imagination. If you can imagine something, you're beyond time space. Okay, so you imagine your guide, and instead of doing what you do with a regular human, another human being, which is where you look at their eyes and you know their face and see their body and what they're wearing, and you shake their hands and you talk with them and get their name or whatever it is, the usual way of meeting a person, a new person. You're not going to do that with a guide, because you've got that in a very strong, what we might say, non-intuitive construct. You do it in a kind of routine kind of way. You know, it's like please and thank you and hello and goodbye, all these kinds of rituals. And so meeting somebody, you can look at their face and figure that out and, okay, remember that and so on. But it's already there. In the case of a guide, you don't know what's there. You want to connect with them even if you don't see their face, even though you don't know what their face would look like. So essentially what you're going to do is that you're going to imagine that there is a form standing in front of you, but you're going to just look down at the feet. You look at the feet because you don't have a lot of charge on the shoes that people wear. It's like, we eyes, nose, mouth, face, hair, yeah, sex, you know, whatever, we can see that. But when you just look at shoes, it's like it can sidetrack some of this this training. And so you can imagine feet with shoes or bare feet. Maybe they're bare. And maybe the feet are a white person's feet. Maybe they're a black person's feet. Maybe they're a Pacific Islander's feet. You will just kind of pick up what's going on, and you kind of move in your imagination up the legs, see what they're wearing. Are they wearing skirt? Are their legs mostly bare? Are they wearing pants? What are they wearing? Just using your imagination. Yes, making it up, and let it, and work all your way up to the face. And by the time you get to the face, you've kind of figured out what their gender is. Now, a lot of guides are androgynous, so you may not really figure that out. But You'll figure out gender. There'll be a culture, cultural appearance. And this cultural appearance may be of a contemporary culture. It could be of an ancient culture. It could be of a... It could seem like a mystical nature. It seemed like could seem like the person's dressed like someone from ancient Greece, or it could be a Native American dress, or they could be Chinese, or they could, or whatever. So just kind of note what kind of culture, that energy that they're holding, what their skin tone is. If you can kind of sense and imagine what their eye color might be. And how they wear their hair, and so on. If you can kind of work it up to that point, by the time you've done the feet and the legs, it makes it a lot easier for you to get the rest of them. So we're going to be doing that shortly. Now, we just want you to know, though, even if you meet a guide and it looks like a particular way, and if you can sense it or you can imagine it in whatever way or that you can, that this is what they're using to connect with you, to meet you. And if you work with this guide on a longer-term basis, their image may change. They may wear different clothes. They may change their hairstyle. They may get taller. They may get shorter. Their body type may shift. And they may be real pudgy. They may all of a sudden be very muscular. They can change. And this doesn't mean that you got it wrong. All it means is that they are refining and tweaking the energies of connection. And so what you're going to perceive will become more and more accurate over time. One of the things that the channel noticed when she was... working with her higher self and meeting her higher self over time, she noticed that her higher self would come in with these gorgeous outfits, you know, phenomenal fabrics and styles and patterns and absolutely gorgeous stuff. A whole just amazing multi-layered kind of beautiful colors type of outfit. Just was very, very exciting. And she was able to kind of write down two of them. But it was every time she met her higher self was wearing another awesome outfit. And you know, the channel's not really into fashion at all. So, but this was really just such beauty and such artistic creativity. It gave her a lot of inspiration as far as putting together her clothes combinations and that kind of thing. Okay, so... when you meet them, once you meet a guide, you're going to exchange gifts with them. Now, these are going to be something small and probably symbolic. Okay, so you're going to give them something. And you don't have to like, oh, I need to give them the right thing. Hey, don't worry about it. Just let something manifest in your hand and you hand it over. Don't try to give them something huge. Okay, just something in your hand. And maybe it's a beautiful stone, maybe it's a bird feather, maybe it's a ring, maybe a piece of clay. It could be anything, just anything. So you just imagine yourself with something in your hand and you give it. And the guide takes it and thanks you. And then they give you something. And you reach out in your mind and you take it and you thank them and you look at it and note what it is. Now, if you can use your imagination, you will imagine both of these objects. Once you've given and received with your guide, you are starting to feel a connection. There's a kind of connection. Now, not all guides are going to be huggy, touchy-feely, so they may not want to hug you or whatever, but they do love you and care for you, but they'll be happy to give you stuff. So, and what if they give you an object? What if they give you a feather You know, it may be, you know, fly, the message may be fly free. There's a message with it. Oh, how nice. The message of what you give them. There's a message from what they give you. So later on, after a session, then with meeting a guide, then write it down. What did you give them and what did they give you? And is there a message? Is there any kind of idea of what it is? Now, if you feel connected by this, and hopefully you can, maybe you can then ask them their name. And if you're clairaudient, you might hear it. If you're a visual type, it might come in letters. You might see it in letters. If it's if you're a kinesthetic person, you just might kind of sense the sound of it, how it would feel, and something would emerge and so on. And you may not get it. You may not get any idea whatsoever about a name. So don't be too concerned if you don't, okay? Because, you know, you'll meet them again, and at some point you'll be able to get it. Now, some people try to short-circuit this process by going to a psychic who sees people's guides, and we'll tell them, well, you have a guide that is named such and such, and he wears this type of stuff, or she's from this from Atlantis, and she does this and that, and they're saying and here's their messages for you, and blah blah blah, and that's all fun and very very entertaining. But if you don't utilize that information, and then go connect yourself. You'll start there, maybe with what they have imaged for you, but most of the time, the guides themselves would prefer that you go meet them directly, that not to go through a psychic. Sometimes people are so insecure about being able to get feedback, or that it would be incorrect, and oh, life would be horrible if they didn't get the right information, they'd be like really stupid or screwed or whatever, that they kind of shortcut it because I don't know how to do this. So let me go to the psychic and the psychic will tell me. But overall, really, you need to be able to work with them yourself. You can't just keep going to the psychic saying, well, what did they say today? You know, so you want to work with and develop your own relationships with your guide. So in a short while, we're going to do that. You can call in all your guides all the time. You can call in individuals. You can have an inner circle. You can have the whole group, because you may have many, many. You may even have up to 100, you know, if you call in all of them. But there's a certain group you're going to want to deal with. And so you're going to see some of that in just a little while, because we're going to go and take you through a meeting, a guide, and working with your team and directing your team. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have you ask your team and request your team for help in manifesting something. Something that's useful for you, something that's meaningful for you, something that has value for you, not just something, you know, like, oh, just a little more money. No, if you have clientele and your business is slow, you're asking for more clients. You're not asking just, oh, give me some money. That's too shallow. So what you want to do is think of what you want to ask your guides to help you with, and so we'll do a programming, a reality creation, manifestation, process with them. You leading the team, all right? So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to answer questions if you have any questions, or we're going to talk a little more about it, and then we're going to take you on a meditation, where we will do all this work with your guides and have a good time doing it. Yes. All right. So we're going to take a break of 10 minutes, and we'll be right back with you. All right. Farewell.